5. In my 40s, I desperately sought to reclaim the energy and youth I felt was slipping through my fingers.
The street was busy. Charles stood off to the side of the entryway to the Adventurers' Guild, waiting for his eyes to adjust to the afternoon sun. Caesarbo was crouched to his right, and the line of newborn adventurers extended out the entryway. The sights and sounds of the city were overwhelming in a way, and Charles spent his time leaning on his staff as he mentally adjusted to it.
"That wasn't cool, old man," Caesarbo's bitter voice interrupted.
Charles just nodded, not really putting any thought into it.
"What? I didn't startle you? I've been stealthed here for 30 minutes waiting for you to come out."
Charles just turned to look at him.
"If this little fella is upset about something, sometimes it's best to just let people vent. Unless they're the type of folks that want to always vent like that's what they're born to do. If it sounds like that's his type, I'll walk off."
"Ugh, you didn't want your money back and you can see me in stealth at level 1. Please tell me you're a player and I'm not stuck in an AI pretending to be human quest line."
The halfling looked up at Charles with pleading eyes.
"It's probably an act, but maybe if I pretend otherwise, then he'll leave me alone." "Young man, I don't know what you mean by player. Are we playing a game?"
Caesarbo nearly pulled his hair out as he screamed,
"No! I will not be pulled into an AI-bot questline ever again! No, no, no!"
He paced back and forth alongside the wall of the Adventurer's Guild.
"Young man, you need to calm yourself. If there's anything I've learned in my old age, it's that worrying about things you cannot control is a waste of time. Working yourself up about it is a waste of energy."
The halfling thief stopped with his back turned and spun around, muttering,
"Fine. I've gotten trapped, and you're probably going to keep showing up until I follow it to the end."
Looking up at Charles, he put on a huge fake smile and straightened his back perfectly.
"Honored elder, is there perhaps something I can help you with?"
This must be the question that initiates quest lines. Now, how can I use this? Do I want to? It'll be a pain if he keeps coming back, but then he is asking to help me. No, this is just wasting my time. I need to get rid of him. Young man, I don't know that you are strong enough to help me."
The other adventurers in line had started paying attention, and more were slowing their walk in the street to watch the show. Through clenched teeth, the halfling forced out his question,
"How strong do I need to be to help you, honored elder?"
Charles put a lot of show into considering the question.
"Really, I need something to keep him busy long enough for me to leave town."
Thinking back to when they were inside the Adventurers' Guild, Charles spoke slowly.
"When you can steal the shoes off the best thief in the city while he is awake, then you will be strong enough."
Immediately those watching Charles and Caesarbo began speaking loudly and excitedly.
"Oh, man, he is so lucky! A quest that hard must have the best reward! I wonder if I can get that quest, too."
A prompt appeared before Charles as soon as he finished speaking.
"You have offered a player the following quest. Making the Soulless, S-O-U-L-L-E-S-S, Soulless, S-O-L-E-L-E-S-S. You have been asked to steal the boots from the renowned Master Thief Shadowcutter, head of the Thieves Guild in the Kingdom of Helios. Shadowcutter is a famed individual throughout the kingdom, though none know their gender or their race. Long have they reigned as the best, and challengers only disappear. Shadowcutter has ears everywhere, and while he does not know why this old man wants his boots, he already knows who you are. This is a solo quest and cannot be accomplished as part of a party. Rewards, plus 5,000 fame, kingdom, plus 100 fame, continent, and please provide a reward. Penalty for failing quest, minus 500 fame, kingdom. Penalty for declining quest, minus 1,000 fame, kingdom. Time limit? Please specify a time limit." Charles immediately thought of all his old rations as the quest reward, happily watching them appear on the screen.
"The sooner I can stop looking at them, the better."
Then he thought, 30 days into the time limit and confirmed.
That I can do all that without lifting a finger is pretty nice. Technology has come a long way.
This was immediately followed by a sharp intake of breath by Cesarbo as he read the quest prompt. Adventurers crowded around him, looking on in expectation.
Come on, what does it say? What's he offering? You gotta tell us!
Another blue box popped up in front of him, but he dismissed it quickly. Charles turned and started walking away.
I figured that now was a good time to depart, as they are all distracted.
Behind him he heard the words,
5,000 fame!
More surprised shouts and anguished cries echoed across the street, followed by even louder excited talking.
15 adventurer rations! It must mean it's a chain quest! You hit the Holy Grail!
It didn't take him long to make his way south, away from the market district and into a residential area of town. Wagons and people still moved back and forth busily, but they weren't stopping to go into and out of shops here. On the sides, two-story buildings of muted yellow and beige were braced with thick stone lumber and cobble or wooden roofs. NPC children were visible through open windows, though the windows had no glass, just thin screens of fluttering fabric. Birds chirped as they landed on the occasional tree. Many had porches that led out to small gardens and yards in the front. Charles walked slower here, taking in the sights. He also spent time imagining what it would have been like if his own kids, when they were younger, had lived in one of these homes.
They could have played ball or pretended to go on adventures. If only there was a game like this when they were younger.
Behind those thoughts, he knew he was avoiding thinking about his granddaughter and what she was going through. If he thought about it too much, then he'd drop everything to go see her, and that isn't what she wanted.
Caring for me while I visit might be more of a burden than help.
At one house, adventurers stood in a small circle discussing some quest about a rabbit when the door opened. A woman Charles's age appeared, walking slowly with a cane down past a porch. A bonnet covered her head, and a thick wool dress that was mostly blue but had some floral pattern hung loosely.
Hello, adventurers. I was wondering if any of you could do an old lady a favor, she asked.
Many of the adventurers split off, going different directions and quickly leaving. Only a couple turned her direction. A warrior woman with dirty leather armor displaying too much cleavage and a man wearing light green robes with a gaudy necklace nodded their heads. The warrior woman sighed and spoke,
Honored Elder, is there something we can help you with?
It is the question to start quests.
Charles smiled a little in satisfaction. He slowed to a stop to watch. Charles had no intention of getting involved, but watching seemed fun.
Why, yes, dearie. I have a garden out back, but it keeps getting ravaged by rabbits or moles or some other vermin. Could you two help me with that? The woman asked.
Charles watched as their heads indicated they had a quest prompt, and then they started walking around the side of her house. Then she looked at him. Charles immediately prepared to decline, but her question was different.
Well, aren't you a handsome gentleman? Would you care for some tea?
How can I refuse that? Tea sounds very nice. I hope she doesn't have designs on me. I won't be staying here, and I'm too old to be rolling around a bed, especially after the hip replacement. But a small detour couldn't hurt. Tea sounds perfect for this afternoon.
An honest smile graced his face.
I hoped you would agree.
She returned his smile and turned to walk back inside. Charles followed behind her, but at a respectful distance. Inside was what he would have expected from an upper-middle-class colonial home, with several elaborately carved couches, well-cared-for oak tables, and sparse but detailed paintings hanging on the wall. She gestured to a comfortable-looking cushioned chair and went into her kitchen. Charles marveled as the cloth covering the chair felt like velvet and the aroma of tea leaves filled the air. Several of the paintings were of younger men in fanciful suits and women in fine ball gowns. It didn't take her long to return, carrying a silver tray with a steaming teapot and two cups. She placed it down on an oaken table before him and poured two cups. Then she gracefully offered one to Charles. He noticed a slight tremor in her hand, and the cups were less than half filled, as if to prevent someone from spilling as they held it. He bowed his head slightly in thanks as he took the warm cup with both hands.
"So, Charles, I hope you like my tea," she said softly, as she took her seat in the center of a couch.
"How does she know my name? Oh!"
He quickly inspected her, and the title above her head displayed, "Grandma Theedle, Iona the Spider, Race, Human, Class, Tailor, Spymaster, Level 3, 41. He could see more information, but the moment he used inspect, several other things happened. Multiple different places throughout the room began glowing in soft tones of red and green and purple. The outline of a floorboard in a corner, the pillow on one of the couches, several items on a shelf he hadn't noticed before. Even the tea in his hand had a green glow. Cup of tea. Uncommon. Use. Refills 10 mana, reduces dehydration. Cup of truth-telling tea. Rare. Use. Refills 10 mana, reduces dehydration. Poison of honesty has been applied. Effect. Consumption will prevent lies from being told. Does not compel speaking. Duration 10 minutes. Charles looked at the tea for a few seconds and then took a sip.
"I came here for tea. I wonder if this is one of the AI bot's quest lines that Bert warned me about. I better not agree to anything. The tea itself has an interesting flavor. It's not strong or too bitter, and it would likely go well with a sweet cake or other desserts."
After a moment of considering his tea and his response, he looked back at the woman whose intelligent eyes had been studying him for reaction.
"It's good tea. Not the best I've had, but good on a hot day like this."
A smile graced her face.
"I find it warms the belly."
Charles raised the cup and took another sip. She did as well.
"If she has things she wants to discuss, she can discuss them."
For a while, they simply drank tea in a silence that Charles enjoyed.
"If she is a spymaster, there's a chance she wants me to talk. And if a woman I don't know wants something from me, then the proper course of action is to make her wait, to let her anticipation do any work for me. I'm way too old to play the guessing game where I have to drag out what she wants."
The woman politely waited for him to finish before setting her cup down. There may have been some tea left in it, but Charles didn't look at the tea. He was busy watching her and waiting for her to speak.
"Do you know Shadow Cutter, Charles?" she asked.
"So that's what this is about."
He likely could have held the surprise from his face, but he was past bothering with that kind of thing.
"Nope."
"Then why, of all things, do you desire his shoes? Have you heard something about them? Did he steal them from you?"
"Don't want 'em. Just giving a little bugger something to do,"
Charles answered with a half shrug. A truth-telling tea might have worked on another guest of Ms. Iona's, but Charles was past the point in his life where intrigue and duplicity were a consideration. With a small sigh, she shook her head.
"You don't know what you've done, do you?"
Charles just waited for her to finish. If this was going to become a lecture, he'd spit in her cup and walk away.
"I've looked for so long. He's my long-lost son. The boy ran away from home. I've missed him so much and keep asking after him, but no one seems to know where he is. Then I hear about an older man who wanted his shoes, and I thought maybe he knows where my boy has—"
Charles sighed to cut her off her horse-dung speech. He was eyeballing his teacup, wondering if he could get a good glob of spit or if it would be a string of drool. Drool wouldn't very well prove his point.
"Do you know where he is?"
she asked, a faint undertone of irritation carried with her voice. He'd been married long enough to see it clear as day. It just didn't matter to him if she was irritated.
"Not really. This doesn't sound like something that's got anything to do with me. Think I'm going to mosey on out of here. Thank you very much for the tea.
Charles set his teacup down and started to rise.
Do you know who I am?
She said, arching an eyebrow.
Figure you think you are pretty important with the whole spymaster thing, but like I said, this has nothing to do with me.
Spymaster? I'm a seamstress.
She looked around wildly as if expecting other people to burst forth.
Sure, sure,
Charles said while walking towards the door.
He's going to send people after you. He'll find out quickly who you are.
Charles slammed the door behind him and breathed in a deep breath of air. Afternoon was slowly slipping away to early evening.
That's the last time I'm stopping for tea anywhere around here.
As he walked down towards the road, two people came tearing out from behind the house, sprinting down the street. Behind them, a 10-foot fanged rabbit bounded after. Charles paused for a moment to allow them to pass before continuing his walk south. Despite his good mood, under his breath he still grumbled to himself,
"Damn woman and her stupid tea. Can't just have tea because she wants to be nice. Nope. Gotta be a spy. Old man like me has got nothing to do with spies and such."